We'll lead with how the strong U.S. dollar today pulls value out of Michigan and sends it to Tokyo or Stuttgart. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The carmaker Toyota today moved up its profits forecast after reporting a blockbuster quarter for making money. Yes, it is selling cars and trucks. Toyota is the number one vehicle manufacturer in the world. But helping is the high dollar, which buys over 117 yen today. It was around 100 late last summer. BBC's Theo Leggett is on the line from London to help us with this. Good morning, Theo.
Morning, David.
So we see the Toyota profits are up 14% in part because of a weak Japanese yen. I would assume European car manufacturers that sell into the U.S. will also be enjoying this dynamic of a high dollar, low euro?
Absolutely. If you sell to the United States and the dollar is riding high and your own currency is falling, as is the case with both the yen and the euro, then effectively it makes your exports a lot cheaper. Other manufacturers which might benefit from much the same sort of thing, Mercedes-Benz in Germany, for example, they export a lot of the cars they make. And as the euro falls, they'll be getting cheaper in overseas markets as well.
You see who's crying, Theo. Ford Motor Company, the CFO, went on record in recent days saying that the weak yen adds $11,000 more profit to every car they sell in the United States. And it cuts the other way for U.S.-based car manufacturers dealing with this high dollar.
This is the kind of thing you get, you see, when governments try to bring their currencies down in order to give their economies an export boost. Some people call it currency competition. The Japanese government has been deliberately attempting to keep its currency low so that it can sell these export products and revive many of its industries.
The BBC's Theo Leggett in London. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you.
In fact, Ford's top financial person is also quoted as saying that he wants limits on governments actively manipulating currency to be part of the Trans-Pacific Trade Treaty that's currently in negotiations. Now let's check the markets. I see the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down a bit. The 100-share index in London is down 0.6%. And the Nikkei index in Tokyo is up 2%. Perhaps the word in the English language that has made companies the most money over the years is the word premium. Coca-Cola's newest product is hitting grocery shelves now. It's not just milk. It is premium milk with the brand name Fairlife. Gigi Duban reports.
If you go to Fairlife's website, you'll see adorable cows and pretty farms. They want you to come away with one message. This milk isn't fake.
Fairlife is real, authentic milk from the farm. From natural cows.
That's Steve Jones, CEO of Fairlife. The company is emphatic because the milk is broken apart and reassembled to make a lower sugar, higher protein, lactose-free milk.
So we call it designer milk or handcrafted milk. It's very, very natural.
Milk and innovation haven't exactly gone together. John Sitcher, editor of Beverage Digest, says this could be a win for Coke and Pepsi.
Getting into beverages that provide protein is a good idea and something that I think we're going to see both companies do over time.
But he says it'll probably be at least a year before we know whether this milk passes the consumer smell test. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
This month, Marketplace is telling stories about that greatest of commodities, not oil, but water. Marketplace sustainability reporter Sarah Gardner grew up near Lake Michigan, one of the biggest lakes on the planet, of course. Her hometown of Waukesha, about 15 miles west of Milwaukee, is making a bid to tap that lake for its permanent drinking supply. Its deep well water is contaminated with radium, though. And as Sarah tells us, the city has to get permission from New York Governor Andrew Cuomo first.
So you're wondering why Governor Cuomo of New York gets to make decisions about a town 1,000 miles away? Actually, the governors of all 8 Great Lakes states get to vote on diversions like this. It's part of an agreement called the Great Lakes Compact. It didn't get much press when George W. Bush signed it in 2008. The financial crisis sort of stole its thunder. But Peter Annan, author of The Great Lakes Water Wars, says the law is a big shift in the way we manage water.
There was this idea in the early part of the last century that we can ship water to wherever the people are.
Annan says the compact rejects that idea. Think of it as a sort of legal fence surrounding the Great Lakes watershed that sends this message.
We're going to keep the water inside the basin, and if you want to use it, great. Come, enjoy it here, live here, build your factory here. But the idea that we're going to build canals and pipelines to take the water to wherever the people are has passed.
People in the Great Lakes region say they have good reason to be protective. Over the decades, there have been lots of schemes to take their water to faraway places. One that really caused alarm was a Canadian entrepreneur proposing to ship Lake Superior water to Asia. In 2007, a candidate for president, New Mexico's Bill Richardson, hinted at transferring Great Lakes water to the Southwest. And any doubts about the need for a compact got pushed aside. Jody Habish-Sinikin with Midwest Environmental Advocates pushed for the legislation.
The Great Lakes community encompasses vital economies, over 40 million people, unique ecosystems, and it is a public trust.
My hometown of Waukesha lies just outside the Great Lakes Basin, but it can ask for Lake Michigan water under one of the compact's few exceptions. Waukesha has to prove it can't find a reasonable alternative in its own backyard. And that burden of proof, says Habish-Sinikin, will be heavy. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And there's news today that J.M. Smucker of Jam fame is buying the owner of Meow Mix. The purchase of Big Heart Pet Brands will be for $5.8 billion minus debt equals $3.2 billion. We spent $59 billion on pets last year, so there you have it. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.